continue in the book of Romans, chapter 14. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believes that he may eat all things, another who is weak eats herbs. Let not him that eats despise him that eats not. Let not him that eats not judge him that eateth, for God has received him. Who are you that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be held up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regards the day, regards it to the Lord. He that regards not the day, to the Lord. He does not regard it. He that eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he that eats not, to the Lord, he eats not, and give God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. For whether we live, we live to the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose, revived, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you set at naught, or despise your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not, therefore, judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man puts a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. For if your brother be grieved with your food, now you are not walking by love. Destroy not him with your food for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, things wherewith one may edify one another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemns not himself in the thing which he allows. And he that doubts is judged if he eat, because he eats not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now so far in the book of Romans, the first eight chapters we looked at are doctrinal, or teaching, and teaches us the great truths of justification, sanctification, glorification. From 9 to 11, we have the dispensational aspect, where it brings in Israel, past, present, and future. And from chapter 12 on, we have the practical truths. If these mercies that we have are true, how should it affect our lives? How should we live if these truths get a hold of us? In fact, the last verse in chapter 13, he tells us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, what does that look like? Well, it's what he brought out in chapter 12 and 13. Towards the church and our gifts is using our gifts for the benefit of others, of serving the Lord. And whether it's towards others in the world around us, we're to present the mind of Christ lowly-mindedness. You know, having our behavior honest before the Lord, not taking vengeance on those who wrong us. Where the Lord says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And then he goes on in chapter 12 to tell us who God's servants are to take vengeance. Not us, but the civil government. They are God's servants to mete out justice. It's not for us as believers to do it for ourselves. And then he talks about how we're to honor those in positions of authority, to pay our taxes, etc., as a witness to the world. In chapter 14, at the end of chapter 13, he talks about the theme of it all is love. Love does no harm to his neighbor. He fulfills all the law, the rights and wrongs. When he comes to chapter 14, he's not talking about issues of right and wrong. You know, some would like to take the word love, and instead of saying God is love, they're saying love is God. And they want to reinterpret love to include people doing anything and everything. They can do whatever you want, as long as we love you. Well, when he says thou shalt not, that's not something that the Lord tolerates. And we can't tolerate blatant sin against the Lord. We must judge those that are within, he says. Chapter 14, he's not talking about those kinds of issues. In Galatians, he tells us, if a brother is overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, go to him. In the spirit of meekness, restore such a one. You know, when sin comes in, we have to deal with. But we do it in the right spirit, in the right way. We've put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And over again in Scripture tells us that the mind of Christ is a lowly mind, not high-minded. And we'll see in chapter 14, he's dealing with things that are not right and wrong, but they're preferences. Or there are things that maybe culturally in our background come up, and like between Jew and Gentile. If you were Jewish, you were brought up to believe you shouldn't eat certain foods. And you should keep the Sabbath. If you were brought up as a Gentile, you ate certain foods that the Jews wouldn't eat. So here as believers, how do we get along in issues that we don't agree on? And what Paul brings out here is that there are things that two believers can believe differently on and both be right. Because both have to act in faith as God has shown them. But what he emphasizes here in the first verse is that even though you don't agree with every I that's dotted or every T that's crossed with somebody, you can still receive them. You still love them. And if we as believers had learned this chapter, we would have saved ourselves so much heartaches, not only between individuals, but between assemblies and divisions. Somebody rightly said, well, the Plymouth Brethren are good at rightly dividing the word of truth, but bad at wrongly dividing themselves. And you look back at the history of some of the divisions, and this isn't just among the brethren. This is true among all the brethren. You know, divisions over preferences, over what pleases me, and how I want to control things to my comfort zone and not for others. We have learned that each one of us must answer to the Lord. And we are not the Lord. And we should never try to lord it over our brethren. We should never elevate things that are preferences to the level of thus saith the Lord. Because people, they don't divide over and come out and say, well, I'm dividing because I like it this way. I like it. I want it my way. That's really what the reason is. But they come out and say, oh, no. They're doing what's unscriptural. They're lowering the standards. They want to elevate it to a thus saith the Lord. When only it's their preferences. We see right here, Even though we disagree on some issues, we're still to love one another. And two things we're not supposed to do. See, he calls them weak and strong. The weak in the faith, well, they're not brought fully into the liberty of conscience that we have in Christ. So these things that certain foods are wrong from the... Peter had a real problem with that. The Lord had to have a vision three times to show him, don't call unclean what he has cleansed. So it was very strong in certain cultures. But we're not supposed to violate our conscience. We're not supposed to do things that we doubt. We're supposed to walk in faith. And we're not supposed to try to force anybody to violate their conscience. It's always dangerous to violate your conscience. Now, your conscience may need to be enlightened by God's Word. You may be weak, but God doesn't want you to always be weak. But as long as there's those situations, we have to be careful that we don't stumble a brother. That's to anticipate some. But two things we're not supposed to do in this situation. One is, if you're weak, you think it's wrong to eat certain foods, you're not supposed to judge somebody who does eat. And if you eat, you're not supposed to look down at somebody who does, as though those poor weak brethren, you know, you despise them or you make nothing of them. Both attitudes come out of high-mindedness, because I'm smarter than them. I know better than them. They're just too, they don't come out and say too stupid, but they just haven't grown enough to see, rather than to say, well, you know, we don't have to always agree on every little thing. I can still love them. We still love one another. But the core of truth, the essentials of the faith, we believe, we hold fast, and we want to follow the Lord. And that's the other thing. Not only should we not judge them or despise them, we have to always realize that they want to follow the Lord. Because you disagree with them, don't say, well, they don't want to follow the Lord. I'm the only one following the Lord. No. You have to leave room for their conscience, for their mind in the things of God, and give them opportunity to grow. And not come, every time I see something, I'm going to come down and straighten those brethren out. That's the wrong spirit. That is not the mind of Christ. That is not putting on the Lord Jesus. That's allowing the flesh to say, oh, I'm the Lord. And Paul very strongly says, who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master, he will stand or fall. You may think he's wrong. You are not his Lord. You may think you're right. He is not your Lord. And we must never try to put a believer to do things because I said so. You know, sometimes as parents we've done that, right? And they say, why should I do that? And after you run out of good reason, you say, because I said so. Well, with other believers, we have to say, well, you know, brother, this is how I see it in Scripture. Go back and look at it. I want you to follow the Lord. I don't want followers after me. We don't want disciples after ourselves. We want to see somebody who disagrees with me, but is wanting to follow the Lord, and even in that disagreement. I would rather see my children not agree with my opinion, but I see them genuinely wanting to follow the Lord, and this is what they see as following the Lord. And that's most important. And we want to, among ourselves, do everything we can to encourage one another to follow the Lord. To show, yes, show them the Scripture. Yes, challenge them to look into His Word. But we don't have to do it in an angry way. We don't have to do it with a superior attitude. Just think of the things, some of the things that have divided believers. I wrote some of them down. Do you pray thee or thou, or do you pray with you? Which translation do you use? Is it leavened or unleavened bread? Of course, we might also say, is it barley or is it wheat, right? Wine or grape juice? Clothing, how you dress? Suit and tie or no suit and tie? Yeah. Now, I realize that there's extremes, you know, of modesty. You know, somebody... You know, if I came in dressed as Elvis, you might want to say something to me, right? Or if I came in dressed as, here's for your older ones, Clem Cadill Hopper. Only the older ones remember that name, the old hobo, you know. Obviously, there's extremes in dress that you might want to mention something to somebody. But there's a whole range in there where it's decent. And in order, and it's not, say, well, you have to do this or you have to wear that. But people have divided over. Saints have had friction over. All these things have been divisions over. Baptism. Music. How many things? And when it comes down to it, they're not things of thus saith the Lord. They're things of what I like to my comfort. And I don't want to be uncomfortable. And okay, you like other things to your comfort, and you don't want to be uncomfortable. So you want to change it, and I don't want it to change it, and we get into battles over issues like that. We can still receive and love one another. And there's still ways of dealing with those issues in love and in a right spirit. Always giving someone the benefit of the doubt that they want to follow the Lord. And examining in our own hearts that we're doing it because we want to follow the Lord. Not just for my own comfort. Not just to please myself. Not just because I have a pet peeve that I want to push on somebody else. These are things that's where we need to judge. Now, there is a difference between strong and weak. Paul comes in this chapter and says, look, I know that there is no one day better than another day. There's no foods that are unclean. But he says, if you want to judge, judge this. Make sure that you have liberty. You don't use that liberty that hurts your brother or that stumbles your brother. Or makes a trap for your brother. And he goes on to say a strong word. Destroy not your brother for the sake of food. You say, well, how can that destroy a brother? And I think it's in this. This brother has, say, a weak conscience. He's not been clear of his liberty. And he really believes that I shouldn't eat that. Or I shouldn't drink that. And you encourage him to do it anyway. To violate his conscience. Even though his conscience is weak, it is always dangerous to encourage somebody to violate their conscience. Because what that does, our conscience is our monitor. It's not always correct, but it tells us to kind of hold up. Don't do that. God puts it in there for right and wrong. And as soon as we violate it, we start a deadening process in the conscience that it becomes easier to do it the next time and the next time and the next time. That before you know it, you have no conscience at all of not just doing indifferent things, but doing sinful things. Your first step of violating your conscience is a step downward. But it makes the next step easier. Then the next step easier. And the next step easier. Until you have shipwrecked shipwreck of your faith. And it could be started by a believer. Well, that believer, I see them doing it. Or I saw that there. And again, I'm not even saying it starts out with the sinful issues. So we, if you're strong in the faith, you have to be ever careful that you don't mislead a brother. You must always encourage them to not violate their conscience. Now, that doesn't mean that they should ever stay as weak brethren. But it means that they should have be strengthened by the Word of God to understand the liberty that they have in Christ Jesus. Now, these issues are not the same as when these issues become friction between believers. Before you know it, what develops is are things like you have in Corinthians, people taking sides. And sectarian is developed. Well, I'm on this guy's side. I'm on that side. And before you know it, you have what you have in Galatians, people making these preferences as principles of fellowship and of reception. Well, unless they're circumcised, they can't be saved. Unless you promise not to do this, we can't receive you here at the breaking of bread. All other kinds of things. And people do it for control. And it's not putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's making provision for the flesh. The flesh loves to be in control. And my father grew up Catholic, and he started coming to the assembly. And before he started coming, he used to jokingly say, "Well, if they make me pope, I'll come down there." You know, well, you know, we have in some of our assemblies people who they won't call themselves the pope, but they dominate everybody just like anywhere else. We have to be very so careful. There's only one Lord, and we want every single person here to be following that one Lord, even if it means disagreeing with believers over these non-essentials. I think it was Augustine coined the phrases, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, use charity. In all things, love. You know, there's the right balance. And we've had problems of knowing the difference between essentials and non-essentials. What we need to be doing is for every one of us to be building up one another, to making sure that we build up the saints and we don't tear down. We don't do anything that tears them down. Because the kingdom of God is not on outward appearance. It's not on exactly how you dress, that you all come in wearing exactly the same clothes and carrying the same Bible case. You know, you'd be surprised. Some people want to imitate someone. They'd make sure they got that right. Same Bible case. They looked like so-and-so. We want to make sure that we're following righteousness. We're following peace. We're following joy in the Holy Spirit. And there is nothing that will kill the joy in an assembly than bickering over non-essentials. Judge yourself. How many times have you maybe in your own heart or thought judged somebody and you didn't know the whole situation? That's why it's never right of us to judge, to be the judge. The judge knows the big picture. He sees everything. We only see part of it. We were visiting our son, and we were at a local church with him one time, and there was a believer there. We knew he was a believer, and he was speaking, and he had his hat on the whole time. And, you know, kind of in our minds, we were thinking, well, doesn't he know enough not to wear the hat? The head covering for the man. And so someone said afterwards, you know, said, told us, yeah, you know, he's just been going through some chemotherapy, and the lights really have a problem for him. So he has to wear the hat to kind of shade his eyes in the thing. Well, we make our own judgments without knowing the whole picture. We make wrong judgments. Some people have even been angry at the Lord. Because they thought, why did God allow this? Well, if you saw all the things that God sees, you would agree with His judgment. You would agree that that's what you should have done. Because God sees the big picture. And it's only safe to allow Him to be the judge. So we judge ourselves for being critical. There's nothing that will destroy joy in a believer's life than a spirit of criticism in an assembly. And Paul is very strong here. You judge yourself. You are not their judge. You leave them in the Lord. You try to build them up. You want to make sure they're following the Lord. They're encouraging. Encourage them in the Lord. If the only time you go to talk to somebody in the assembly is when you have a criticism, you're not the one to talk to them. If you haven't been right there encouraging them all along in the faith, and then say something that you might have to say to them, they'll receive it. You cannot be like in Israel. They were fighting among themselves, and the one tribe, they couldn't pronounce Shibboleth. They always say Sibboleth. And that was their test. And if they said Sibboleth, they could kill them. Sometimes we have that kind of attitude. They can't pronounce it the same way we do. And therefore we don't receive them. There's something wrong with them. Just remember, we are all normal until you get to know us. We all have something wrong with us. And we all have plenty of room to love one another. But Paul goes on to say in verse 19, follow after the things that make for peace and that edify. The word there for follow is actually the word translated in other contexts, persecute. Because Paul was the great persecutor. And he not only in Jerusalem would persecute Christians, he followed after them into Antioch to get them and put them in jail and all. That's pursuing. And what he's saying here is, look, in the assembly, among God's people, yeah, there's plenty of reasons for lack of peace. But don't let it be on my part. Pursue it. Follow hard after it. Make sure you are on a good, even with every believer, that there's not some wall in between you because it's been unsettled. Pursue it. So you can build one another. Edify. Build up. Don't tear down. Don't say something. A lot of times it's our tone. And you know, if you're married and you have a spouse, you know it. Your tone was a certain way. And then your spouse got angry. And we said, all I said was this. You know, and when we repeat it in such a sweet, nice way. You know, that's all I said. I didn't mean anything by it. Our tone said everything. We have to be careful of our tone. Pursue peace. Pursue encouragement. Build each other up in the faith. Don't tear down. And especially, don't hurt anybody in their conscience. The weak brother. One last thought. God wants us to all walk in faith. Let me give this statement here too as I finish. God's intent for the weak is not to be ever weak, but to be strong, to enjoy the liberty that is in Christ. But our hearts, you know, our hearts are very deceitful. I've been in assemblies where people who are the leaders, the elders in the assembly, when they are pushing their own traditions and their own pet peeves, on everybody else in legalism, and they can't find a scripture, they come to this scripture and they say, "Oh, brethren, we're weak. Give in to us." Because here Romans 14 says, you're supposed to give in to us if we're weak. You're supposed to make sure that we're not offended. And because you're wearing a tie, or wearing a tie, that offends me. Or because you're saying thee and thou, that offends me. So you see, based on Scripture, you have to submit and say, and because we're weak. Then why are you taking the position as the strong in the assembly? Why are you taking the position as the leader in the assembly? And then you're going to claim to be the weak one? The strong, the leaders, if there's any bearing to be done between the weak and the strong should bear the burdens, not put them on the weak. I've seen them do it with young believers. Go after young believers. Because it's a pet peeve. And they try to push legality on non-essentials. And stumble. I was almost stumbled. I was a young man in the faith, and so I thought it would be fun to grow a beard. So I started growing one beard. This one older brother in the meeting would come up to me and says, "You're growing a beard?" I said, "Yeah." And you shouldn't be growing a beard. That's not right. And I said to him, "Did you ever see the pictures of the brethren in the old brethren?" I said, "He was bald, you know. And he didn't have a beard." I said, "Well, you can be like William Kelly. I'll be like F.W. Grant." And I just joked it off. But every time I'd see him, he'd come up to me and say, "You're just being worldly." And he was serious. And you know, it almost stumbled me, because you know what it did? It focused me, instead of on my Lord and wanting to do my Lord, it focused me on myself and on Him. It focused me on Him and resentment towards Him, because I knew there was nothing in Scripture against it. But He was making it a legality. And it almost stumbled me as a young believer in the Lord, because it got me focused not on righteousness and peace and joy. It got me thinking of just resentment and criticism of Him. You know, when somebody criticizes you, what do you want to do? "Well, you're not so perfect yourself. I can find this inconsistency in your life, and I can say, this is worldly about you." And it gets us all biting and devouring one another. This is the work of the enemy. This is the work of the flesh. And it's an abuse of Scripture to try to claim that I'm the weak brother and therefore everybody has to do what I want. That's not what He's saying here. He's saying here, don't allow a young believer or someone weak in the faith to violate their conscience that might lead them to destroy their faith. But do what builds up. Receive one another. Promote the joy of the Lord. Not resentment. Not what hurts. And that all of us should walk in faith, not in doubting. Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We all want to promote our faith in the Lord and our following the Lord and the Lord alone. We don't want disciples after ourselves. We want you to follow the Lord and Him alone. Shall we just close in prayer? Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Pray that You help us. We know this is the tendency of all of us, to judge or to despise, to tear down rather than build up, to be negative rather than positive, to criticize, Lord, rather than to pray for, to encourage. Help us, Lord, in this, that we might know what is most important in the kingdom of God. We pray in Your name. Amen.